Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen. So this is the first podcast in our new series of 101 podcasts, keeping the brand.
Yes, exactly, the brand. It's all important. It's all about the brand. We've literally earned minus £20 from our last podcast, 101 Video Games That Made Your Life Slightly Better, or Made My Life Slightly Better. Whereas this podcast is going to be looking at films.
That's right. I thought you were going to say we're going to make money from this one.
No, we're not going to make money from this one. Sadly not.
Yeah, so
we've started how we mean to go on. This is our fourth attempt at beginning the our very first podcast, so that bodes well for the next 101. We're going to be looking at films that either Lewis hasn't seen, or I haven't seen, or we both haven't seen. Yeah. And we'll be watching them especially for the podcast.
Yeah, we thought we were going to do 101 films, our favourite films, basically, and just go through all those 101. But then we realised that we'd spend probably 2 years watching films we'd already seen.
Exactly. And what I really want to do with this one is, be exposed to stuff that I wouldn't normally be exposed to. How many times, Lewis, do you get, you're in a pub, talking to a friend, and they say, oh, have you seen this? And you're like, oh, no, I haven't. You're like, you've not seen that? And I wanted to test some of those films, see if they're actually worth watching.
Yeah.
So there will be some slightly obscure films, where perhaps one of us is really love and that we want to share with the other person and you at home. There'll be perhaps some films that you would have thought that one of us would have seen, but for some reason neither of us have.
Yep.
So it's not so much the best, it's more... Yeah, films that we feel perhaps for some reason we should have seen, yeah. We haven't.
Basically, just recommendations. And if any of you have got anything, films you'd like to recommend,
any of you at home,
just write in on a postcard and we'll consider watching them.
We'll work something out. Maybe we can have an email address.
Yes,
we'll sort that out. It'll be on the it'll be on the blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our first film, Lewis.
First film.
Number one. Numero numero. Yeah. I said that.
Numero numero.
Numero numero. That's not even real. I was going to say French, but it's not. I don't know. Carol, quick, save this.
Oh my God! So the first film, I couldn't believe that Ian hadn't seen this one. Absolutely, yes. Couldn't believe it.
So this is a recommendation.
Yeah,
from
you. This is a recommendation for me, and it's Top Gun.
Top Gun.
I can't believe you've never seen Top Gun. How have you got so far in life without seeing Top Gun?
Okay. All right. Well. Before we go into that, I want you to... Why should I have seen Top Gun?
Okay,
why?
Okay.
Why?
Time for the pitch.
The pitch.
Okay, so I think the best way to put what this film's about is in Tony Scott's own words, in the director's commentary for Top Gun. He puts it as, it's a film about rock and roll stars flying silver jets against blue-black skies. And that's pretty much it.
Right, okay.
It's just all about rock and roll music and cool jets.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And Kelly McGillis.
Yeah. It's still... Yeah. Right. Well, I'll tell you what.
What do you need to know?
It wasn't like I was avoiding it on purpose. I must be honest. It's just one of those things that just passed me by. I don't know why. I don't know if it just didn't really appeal when I was younger. It seems everyone else seemed to watch it when they were about 15, 16.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know. I just didn't get around to watching it. It just never really... I wouldn't say he appealed, it just didn't, it wasn't, it never kind of struck me that I had to see it. It wasn't until I went to university where I sort of mentioned that I hadn't seen it, and people started to say, what, you've never seen Top Gun? They said it like that 10 years ago. Now, by the time I'm 31, when I mentioned I hadn't seen it, people go, you've not seen Top Gun? So I thought, yeah, why not? We'll start with a nice easy one for the podcast. Lewis wanted me to watch it, so I've now seen it.
There we go. Well, I guess the big question is, what do you think?
Okay, right. It's all right. I think.
That's not the ringing endorsement I was hoping for.
There's not much more I can say than that. Well, obviously there's lots more, and I want to say more. But in terms of what I thought of it, I'll be honest, dear listener, I kind of went into it thinking I would not like it. Yeah. There was a little part of me, thinking, I don't think I'm going to like this. I think it's just going to be a load of macho nonsense, and I'm just going to be forced to watch it. And we'll be have a hilarious blog where we'll be saying how you'll be trying to defend it, and I'll just be constantly slagging it off. Unfortunately, it won't be quite so strong. Instead, I'll just be like, yeah, it has its good bits, and it has some shockingly bad bits.
There are some very, very cheesy bits.
Yeah, but there are some really good bits in it. I think the problem is I didn't see it at 15.
Yeah.
And I think if I'd seen it at 15, perhaps I would have really enjoyed it and really thought it was fantastic. Now I'm just like, yeah. And also I think, yeah, that a lot of those, you know, really iconic big films suffer from is that you, without realising, you actually see the story or you see references to it or you know the plot through osmosis, through lots of other popular culture.
That's it. You probably know it through Hot Shots more.
Well, definitely, yeah. And it kind of explained a lot of Hot Shots jokes as I was like, oh, okay. I mean, let's be honest, it's a pretty simple, standard story that's, you know, crazy maverick guy. Quite literally, I thought that was quite funny. He's literally called Maverick.
Yeah.
But goes on a journey of self-discovery and, you know, learns confidence and blah 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 blah. But yeah, so it's not like it's the most stunning original plots, but I guess because I knew pretty much exactly what was going to happen because of Hot Shots, because of things like that. Yeah.
It did make me want to watch Hot Shots again, actually.
It's a great film.
It is a great film. What's that line from it? He's talking to the girl. I fell for you like a blind roofer.
Right, okay.
It's pretty good.
Sorry, actually, I should have laughed, though, shouldn't I?
Maybe we shouldn't watch it again. It wasn't that great.
I'm trying to think of a line from it now. I can't think of... The only bit I remember...
That's about the only line I can think of.
So I thought it was okay. So what do you think of it? As a song, you watched it again recently.
It was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting watching it again. I've got to say, it does stand up well today, especially the special effects, I think. Because they weren't really special effects, they were just people flying planes.
Yeah, and of course someone was killed, wasn't they?
Yeah, there was a stunt pilot, Art Scholl, I think.
Yeah, so I think that's his name, yeah.
And it looks amazing still, I think. It's one of those films... You know, if you look at Transformers now, if you looked at Transformers, you probably think, oh god, you know, the special effects are so rubbish on that. You know, now in 2025 or whatever.
Yeah.
But Top Gun still stands up pretty well today. So from that kind of point of view, from just a kind of visual point of view, it still looks great.
Yeah, I suppose so. There is a little kind of element of as. The further away it gets, it's almost like an historical movie now.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Looking at them, in the height of the recently reheated Cold War in the 80s, and
it's very much a Cold War film. Interestingly, actually, the Pentagon asked, well, not the Pentagon, the Navy, I think it was, asked for the references to the enemy to be played down, because originally it was going to be at the end when they fly against. That mysterious black enemy that's never actually named in the film what the enemy was. And originally,
it was going to. Although they have red stars on their planes.
That's true. And originally, it was going to be North Korea, but at the time, the US government were kind of trying to improve their relationship with North Korea, so they asked them not to be named.
It just, because they weren't named and because they're, these mysterious black hooded, it just made me think of like time.
That
really hit me. They look very much
like very similar. And of course, all the enemy pilots have got their visors down, their faceless baddies, whereas all of the goodies
you can see their faces. Just like in Star Wars.
Just like in Star Wars, yeah. Although apparently Tony Scott did film some bits where the goodies have their visors down and the studio threw a fit and he had to refilm it all.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. I hope this is none of your trivia, that you're not ruining your trivia section.
Out my ears.
I was having a quick look at some of the little references I made.
I see you've got commies written down there.
Yeah, just commies.
Commies.
It did make me laugh how they just looked. The bad guy planes were just complete, all black. Yeah. They were like TIE fighter pilots. They might as well have been from Evil Starn. it was not the most subtle.
Definitely not.
Nice to see Ironside.
Michael Ironside.
A little cheer when he came on.
Yeah, he's great. He's really
essentially
good.
Ironside in every single film he does.
I know. But, I was looking through his filmography earlier, actually. He's been in some really shit things.
Oh, of course he has, yeah. But, some shockers.
But yeah, he's just been... he does a great baddie. Although he's not actually a baddie in this one.
No, well, he doesn't tend to always play. Like, he played... Yeah. Like, similar in Starship Troopers, a kind of gruff, but slightly fatherly.
Yeah. No, he's very... Just the sheer number of careers this film launched is amazing. Meg Ryan, her first big film.
Yes, yeah, no, I was kind of quite surprised actually when she popped up, especially in such a minor role. I was like, is that Meg Ryan. I was like, it is Meg Ryan. Yeah. One of the only, I think there's about three women in the entire film.
It's a very macho film. And there's that volleyball bit, isn't there? With they're all playing volleyball with their shirts off.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Tony Scott in the director's commentary is like, I put that in for the girls and some of the guys.
I think mainly for the guys. fair enough. But it is quite rich.
Yeah. There's definitely homoerotic undertones throughout the film.
One thing I didn't understand, the air conditioning on US naval ships seems to be terrible. Everyone just constantly sweating. I wonder if that's... Is that true? Is everyone just sweating the whole time?
Well, I think they were meant to be in the Indian Ocean at the time, so yeah. I imagine it's quite hot there.
I suppose so, but yeah. Just everyone's constantly sweating all the time.
Actually, that was... Interestingly, another thing that Tony Scott said in the director's commentary is originally he wanted to make... did the screenplay or had a look at the screenplay. He wanted to make Apocalypse Now, but on an aircraft carrier. That was his original intention.
Oh, right, so really serious.
Yeah, and I think you can kind of see some of that on the actual aircraft carrier scenes. The kind of like dark, kind of Heart of Darkness kind of feel.
I suppose so, yeah.
And then the studio were like, oh my God, what are you doing to our film?
It's certainly very well shot. It's definitely, those established shots on the aircraft carrier and, sunset, I guess. That works really well. In Tom Cruise's character Maverick talking to what's her name, Charlie, Kelly McGillis's character, where she's asking him how he knows that the plane doesn't hit that speed or whatever it is, they have the whole bit, and he says, oh, I could tell you, but it's classified. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. Did they come up with that? Is that the first use of that?
I don't know.
Because that is such... when I saw it, I was like, oh, but then I was like, oh, hang on, maybe they invented that. And that's where...
I have no idea. I assume...
So, all right, is there an early use of the, if I told you, I'd have to kill you kind of gag earlier than 1986? Is there any film or TV show or comedian that uses that?
There must be. I assume
someone must come up with
something. Oh, yeah. I always imagined it was in some old spy thriller.
Yeah.
Or James Bond. Surely it must have come in James Bond.
I don't know. He's not a very good spy.
I'd be surprised.
He tells people his name. So.
That's true. Maybe his name's not James Bond.
That's it. No. Maybe not. So what do you feel the performances, standout performances in it?
I think Goose is really
very
good.
Yeah, I was about to say Goose, actually. Yeah. I mean, Tom Cruise is fine, but in a funny way, it doesn't exactly... Yeah, it's such a cliche character.
Yeah.
The Maverick. I mean, he does it well for what it is, but I mean, Goose is very likable. And I think without a character like Goose, I really would have just found it awful. I think he was the heart of it. And I'm sure he's obviously manufactured to be that. But he's certainly... And it was perhaps the less overtly macho of us. I don't think either of us, Lewis, would describe ourselves as particularly macho. So we could actually do it because he's just an ordinary family guy. Yeah, and I must say, I mean, obviously I knew that he was going to die. It's a spoiler. All these are going to be spoilers, everyone. If you haven't seen the spoilers. I think I knew he was going to die from Hot Shots and
from Hot Shots. I love it.
Well, loads of other things. It's also just a thing, right? But when I was kind of looked, I was like, actually, it's not made obvious that he will die. It's actually, if you didn't know that, it would come as quite a shock because it does come out completely from nowhere. Mm. Up until that, you're just assuming, oh, they're not going to do it. They'll probably have a big argument. Then they'll make up, and then they'll win the top. Top Gun. Top Wing thing. That was the alternate name for the film. So it's quite surprising when he dies. But of course, I wasn't surprised because I knew full well it was coming. But I could see that if you didn't know that, actually, that would be quite he's dead.
I know. It's quite poignant as well because I read earlier, I don't know if this is true. But I think the stunt pilot died, actually died filming that scene.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
So that kind of adds another layer of poignancy to know that someone actually died trying to pull that stunt off.
Yeah. couple of other. I mean, I quite liked Tom Skerritt as the kind of father figure, more so. But I did find any time that Tom Skerritt and Michael Ironside's characters were talking, it was just the most cliched nonsense.
It was like the
he's off the rails, he's uncontrollable.
He's off the rails.
He's a damn good pilot. Yeah, it's all that, and you're like, oh, God.
What am I gonna do? It's ridiculous.
He's gonna get himself killed or something else out there. Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff, and like, but he's got something. Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff. Yeah, well, but I mean, they were both.
If you just put those two in a police station, they could play exactly the same roles, exactly the same dialogue, and it wouldn't be out of place.
Now, maybe this is me getting older, and it's like slightly concerned. Always there is a little authoritarian part of me, but I was kind of Val Kilmer's side. I was like, yeah, he's a bloody maverick. He is going to get someone killed, as he kind of did. He's right.
You're a maverick, maverick.
But yeah, I mean. You're supposed to say, hey, leave off him. But he's kind of proved right at the end. Because he's named like the best pilot. And I know in the kind of last battle bit, Tom Cruise's character, Maverick sort of wins the day. But
yeah,
I think overall, Val Kilmer will be the better pilot. Because Maverick will get himself killed.
Yeah, presumably. Well, that's it. I will probably get you killed.
Oh, no, because he ends the film as a trainee. As a teacher, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's just going to get loads of other people killed. It's probably why they've done so bad. You know, America's done so badly in wars since the 80s. Oh.
Well, interesting trivia about that. The whole Top Gun program apparently was brought in. It's actually a real. I didn't realise this when I watched the film actually, but it is actually a real thing.
Yeah. I kind of presumed that.
I never knew that. When I just presumed it was completely made up for Hollywood, but actually no, there is a Top Gun school and they do train pilots.
Lewis, the film opens with some white text on a black background. That's always completely truth. In a film, if you have white text on a black background, that's true. Doesn't matter what they say, it's true.
Doesn't Harry Potter open with that?
No.
Why make that?
Well, okay. The last two I've seen. What's it going to open?
Harry's dead.
In 1999... a young boy called Harry Potter was chosen to be seen. Yes, that doesn't open like that, does it? Yeah, it was with the tingly music and...
Dobby.
And, no, what's his name? The bloke from Nuns on the Run. What's his name?
Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane. All the
bloke
things.
From Nuns in the Run.
All the things I could have chosen in Robbie Coltrane's career. Oh, I think Nuns on the Run.
That'd be great.
That's a shame we've both seen Nuns on the Run, because that I would have loved
that
to talk
been great.
About.
Have you seen The Pope Must Die?
Yes.
No, that would have been a good one. Maybe we'll have to watch it anyway. Just pretend you haven't seen it.
We'll do the commentary. That'd
well. Be great if you met Robbie Coltrane after 8 Harry Potter films. You know,
the biggest I love Nuns on the Run. Pope Must Die is all right, but Nuns on the Run. Brilliant. That bit in the shower, you're fanning yourself. It's very exciting for the 11-year-old me. Couldn't believe my eyes.
Eric Idle.
So, what do you think the strongest bit of the film?
Oh, God, you throw me. I'm still thinking about Robbie Coltrane.
Forget Robbie Coltrane.
Strongest bit of the film, apart from the volleyball scene.
Apart from the volleyball scene, of course.
I guess it's the big fight at the end. It goes on forever, that dog
fight
at the end.
Yeah, that was quite exciting, yeah. I mean, that was well done, yeah.
Yeah, really well done. I mean, it is exciting, it's tense, you know. And yeah, bloody hell, it goes on a long time. Yeah. They must have taken so long to film that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it is. I think I'll agree with you there. I think that probably is the strongest part of the film.
Yeah.
Worst bit?
There's plenty of really bad bits. Yes. A lot of the scenes with Charlie are very cheesy.
Oh, that bit in the flat, where in an apartment, where they're in the, sort of the garden, and they're drinking wine, and they're just having talking. Oh, it's painful to watch.
And the bit where he starts talking about his father.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, that's Hollywood cliche done to death.
Yeah, I know. That never was quite clear to me.
Mm-hmm. His father died in Nam.
Yeah, it was like his father died, like, okay, and in some slightly dodgy situations, which is why the State Department couldn't explain why. And it says, so that's why he flies like he does. I was like, why? That doesn't make sense. So his dad was lost in action, So he goes crazy and flies like a maverick.
I don't know.
Where's the link there?
I'm not a psychologist. Hollywood scriptwriter.
I just sort of kept saying, like, as if that completely explained. I was like, well, no, that doesn't really. If, like, he'd heard his dad was like that, then fair enough. But it's never really clear. I think you're supposed to presume that he knew his dad was considered also a maverick. What was his name? He's like Duke or something like that, isn't he, in the film?
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. But, I always found that slightly strange. But anyway. So I don't know. It's just that little bit. I was like, okay. Yeah. And they just kept saying, yeah, so that's why he flies like he does. I'm like, what, why? Just because his dad, what?
I don't know. I have no idea. Apparently one of the technical consultants for the film, like the character of Maverick was based on him, and his dad also did die in Nam, so perhaps they thought, maybe we'll stick it in.
Okay, right. And he became
I forget his name now, Peter something. He does actually appear in the film as Charlie's date in the bar scene. When you first see Charlie, the white-haired guy that she's dating.
Oh, right, yeah. That's weird, isn't it? Because he's really old. I actually thought that he was supposed to be her dad.
He is actually the Navy pilot, who's the technical advisor of the film, and the character, I think it's based on him or one of the other technical advisors.
Are you sure they're supposed to be... And they can't be dating. Charlie likes a...
She likes the older man.
A slice of old pie. Because that was weird. I actually thought that for a second I was like, oh, is that old guy like a character I've missed by not paying attention? He's like, I don't know, the naval commander at the base or something. And I'm just like, oh, it's the daughter, and you know, Maverick's trying to sleep with the daughter. And but no,
it's crazy.
Oh well. And the other kind of big famous sequence is the you've lost that loving feeling bit.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that, I've got to say. I mean, it's incredibly cheesy, but it never fails to raise a smile when I see it.
I mean, we used to do something similar when we used to hit the bars, Lewis, me and you. Don't you remember?
What did we sing?
Well, no,
I'm a Believer.
What we'd do, we'd go up to a girl, and what I'd do, I would pretend to be ill. And then when they come in to see if I was okay, you would sort of just stand behind the door, and then you hit them around the head. Then we'd take the hang on, that's how you escape prison. not how you seduce one. Sorry. No, we just never talked to girls.
We just never talked to girls.
That's right. Yeah, I knew I was getting confused there. That's right. Do you think anyone ever did that? Oh, and also, like in those, I'd love the fact everyone joins in.
Yeah.
Because imagine if we tried that in a pub. If right now we went to a pub and went up to a random girl and both started to sing.
Yeah.
We would probably be asked to leave.
Yeah. Probably.
Especially the way I sing.
It's quite good. It would be good to try them in real life. But try it with a really random song, like Weird Al Yankovic's Eat It or something. Just eat it.
What's the... Move Your Body? What's that?
Move Your Body?
It's that kind of... Down, 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 down. Oh, I can't remember it now. Not Dinosaur Jr., but a band like that's very similar name, because I know Dinosaur Junior and nothing like that. We're kind of slightly dancey. There are two guys, one fat, one thin.
Junior Senior.
Junior Senior, that's it, yeah, that song.
Well, you try that and see what happens.
I sometimes feel like I have some kind of like condition where I just completely forget entire concepts and I have to like scramble around. It's like I've had a bang on the head. I'm scrambling around trying to use such random bits to try and explain.
Oh, God.
Anyway. right, okay. So we've got some features.
Ooh.
Haven't we, Lewis?
Have we?
Yeah, we're going to have features in these episodes.
Features.
Features, features. So shall we start with my feature? Or do you want the quiz?
No, you go. Let's go with your feature.
Okay, so...
Feature!
We've got features, but we haven't got names for any of the features. So we're going to try and come up with them as we go. The first feature is a kind of true or false thing.
Let's call it true or false.
No, but that's too obvious. I've come up with five facts.
Okay.
Three of them are false.
Okay.
Two of them are true.
Right.
And what I want you to... And let me read them all out.
Okay.
And then I want you to name which you think are the two true ones.
Okay, right. So two true, three false.
Three false. Out of the five.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. First one.
Yeah.
Fact or Fiction, number okay. one.
Fact or Fiction.
Oh, that, yeah,
that could be a good name. Yeah, all right, there
okay. All right. Originally, Top Gun was going to be about the World Top Trump competition, where a pack of cards used in the climactic final were going to be about guns.
Guns, not planes.
Guns, hence right. Top Gun.
I see. Top Guns, right, okay. That could be true.
Okay, the homoerotic undertones, or should I say tone, of the film, because it's not really under,
yeah.
Reach a zenith when one character exclaims, "I want some butts."
Okay, I want some butts, right.
Tom Cruise only agreed to appear in Top Gun, as he actually misread the script and thought it was in a live-action version of Top Cat. He had spent the time preparing for the role by dressing in a purple hat, waistcoat, and wearing no trousers.
See, I would have put him more in the role of Benny.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe that's a clue, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a clue. Before Top Gun was released, the United States didn't actually have an Air Force.
Right.
And finally, Tom Cruise is a completely normal person and in no way odd, strange, or unsettling.
Okay.
So,
that's a tricky one.
Which two do you feel are the true ones? And
okay.
Which three do you think are made up?
That's quite hard. I'm sure they say I want to see some butts in the film. Or if they don't, then it must be some sort of subliminal message. It must be, I don't know, written across Tom Cruise's buttocks or something. So I think that's going to be one of the true ones. And I'm going to also say the Top Trumps one, just because I'd like it to be true.
Okay, right, so that the film was originally about a Top Trumps international tournament. Competition where the final was going to be a pack of cards about guns. And
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's not true.
Right.
I Want Some
That's
Butts
a shame.
Is shouted out during the film.
Is it?
Yes, it's shouted out by the guy who spills coffee hilariously all over himself when they do a flyby. And then you
overhear
him just shout, I want their butts. I want some butts. He just walks out the room.
Interestingly, when they did that flyby, all of the windows in the control tower actually blew out.
Really? Well, that's why you shouldn't do it then. No wonder that guy is telling him not to.
I don't think it was on the control tower, but on I think the officer's mess below that actually did smash all the windows.
And the other one that's true is that Tom Cruise is completely normal, of course. And there is nothing wrong with him. He's just a normal guy.
Oh.
And yes. Those are the true two ones. The
wow.
Two true ones.
That's a surprise.
Okay, so... And
is there a prize for this? Do I win?
No, that's just that.
I got
they'll get better.
I got 50,
they'll get funnier, I promise.
I got 50% right.
I wrote those over lunch today really quickly when I suddenly realised I hadn't done them. So that's why they're not that good. But they will get better.
I thought they were good. I like the Top Trumps one particularly.
I was just thinking of loads of things to do with top. So Top Cat, Top Trumps. I was thinking of maybe doing one based around top hats. As I say, they originally all wore top hats and they were all CGI'd out for the Blu-ray release.
They should definitely do a Top Cat movie.
I think they should CGI in some top hats on all the characters and release it.
Top Hat the movie.
Top Hat the movie.
Moving on.
So, quiz.
Quiz, yeah, quiz. Okay, so...
Quiz! That's going to be the sting.
Quiz!
We need to come up with, think of a... What do we think we could call it? Slumdog?
Slumdog billionaire. No.
What? No.
No.
But that there's no
that
pun
make,
with the billionaire.
No pun.
Slumdog...
Bumhog billionaire?
Podcat? No. Anyway. Right, okay. So, quiz! Right, we'll do the quiz. Right, so we'll do... what do you want to do? Do you want to do ask all your three questions? Or...
I'll do my three and then you do your three. Okay,
right,
so
okay.
this is going to...
We're not going to tell the results now because they can play along at home, can't they, Lewis?
Okay, we'll do the results at the end. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So and we're going to keep track of this.
We're going
to
keep track of this.
To find out who is the best.
Yeah.
At the end of this, in 20 years when we finally finish this
podcast. At the end of this, we're basically going to see who's the winner. Who is Ian Hislop and who is Paul Merton for anyone who's listening to in the UK?
Okay. We'll change those references for each one. Okay. All right. Okay. So do you want
to... Okay, here we go. Okay. So, first question.
Lewis to Ian. Lewis is going to ask Ian the questions.
Okay. So these are quite hard. But
I've tried to do not the ridiculously hard ones. Well, we've probably both looked at the same Wikipedia page anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I just use my brain. So these are quite hard, but
whatevers.
You should be able to
whatevers.
Get them. Yeah. Okay, number one. What is the call sign of Tim Robbins' character?
Okay. Should I say it now?
Yeah, you say it now. Yeah.
Merlin?
Okay, number two. What is the name of the aircraft carrier
when you see one Y questions, you realise why. The USS Enterprise.
Oh, man. Okay. And last one. What film did Tony Scott direct after Top Gun?
Ooh. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a 1987 film. Pass. I don't know.
Pass. Do you want a hint?
Okay.
Well, it's a really big 80s film. Very, very, very 80s. You'll kick yourself if you don't get it.
All right. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay. Your questions?
Right. All right. All right. I will give you a clue because I don't think otherwise you'll get it at all.
Okay.
All right. So, and which Canadian artist refused to be on the soundtrack as he or she felt the film glorified war?
Oh, that's a hard one.
It was on the Wikipedia page.
Oh. Canadian artist. She. I don't know. Can I have a clue?
Okay. I said he or she. He felt the film.
He?
Glorified war.
Not Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams? Oh, no, it's probably before Bryan Adams' time.
Okay. Question
Meatloaf,
two.
Meatloaf.
What's your final answer?
Meatloaf is the final answer.
Okay. Question two. Which clothing accessory sales jumped by 40% once the film had come out?
Aviators.
Okay. And question three. What's the Star Trek Top Gun connection?
The USS Enterprise. We had the same question.
No. Oh. Well, that's going to happen. So,
that's a good
right.
one.
So, right. Okay, so what ones did I get right or wrong?
Okay, well, actually, you got all three right.
Really? So, yeah. And I got Beverly Hills Cop 2 right?
Beverly Hills Cop 2, yeah. Tony Scott directed that afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
For you, yes, obviously, you got the Enterprise connection correct.
Yeah.
It was aviator shades. Do you know the other item of clothing? There was one other item that went up by 40%.
Tom Cruise's cowboy boots.
No, but it is something they wear. It's bomber jackets, apparently, went up by 40%. Okay. And I'm afraid you should have stuck to your first answer. It was Bryan Adams.
No
not,
way!
Not Meatloaf.
Oh, is Meatloaf even Canadian?
I don't know. I was slightly confused. You were like, no, Meatloaf! Meatloaf! But, okay.
Oh, man, I didn't even know it was Bryan Adams. Oh, God. Oh, that's a shame.
Oh,
so
well.
It's three to you, two to me.
Yes. Not
damn!
So.
Robbed.
So keep track of that at home. Put on your... charts, your 101. Yes, you should have seen wall charts. Should have seen.
Send
wall
a stamped
charts.
Address envelope, and
we'll send those wall charts out, and you can mark them up and keep track. It's very exciting, isn't it? Imagine what it'd be like. Imagine what it'd be like when we get on podcast 50, and you know we're probably again, 150 points exactly each because we've asked the same questions over and over again.
That's it. Oh man.
Anyway. So, to draw us to the end, towards the end of this podcast, you should probably ask me this. Would you recommend the film?
Yeah. Yes, well, I mean...
I would recommend...
Would you recommend the film?
Thank you, Lewis.
I think you're steering this podcast.
It depends. I would probably recommend watching it simply because of its... it's the amount, the impact it has on popular culture that people our age have been exposed to.
Mm.
I mean, that's probably why people should watch it. It's an all right film. You're sitting there on a Saturday afternoon and there's nothing else on TV, you've not got much else on, you just fancy something easy to watch. Yeah, because it's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's all right. But would I go, I don't know, to a midnight screening in London's Leicester Square for a special showing? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I probably agree with you. I probably wouldn't go to a midnight screening.
That's the only... Yeah, when you... Occasionally, they'll have midnight screens of it, and you're like, oh, I'd love to go in there. Imagine seeing that. That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
I imagine if it was a midnight screening in London somewhere... it would probably be in Soho, and there'd be lots of...
That would actually be quite fun, yeah. So that
oh, my God!
They would get a big cheer, I want butts! Yeah,
want
line,
butts,
it'd be
great. It'd be great, yeah.
Oh, the gays.
oh, dear.
But, Yeah, so I think it's all right. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, it's good.
If you've never seen it before, it's worth a watch.
You definitely have to see it if you haven't seen it, just so that you know where all of these lines and things come from.
But probably to anyone who's a little bit older now, if you're a 22-year-old, I won't bother watching it. Don't have the same kind of pop culture things that they. Yeah, it's different now.
I guess so.
Do you know a guy? I probably mentioned this in our pilot, but since that won't go out for probably a year, doesn't really matter. There was a guy at work didn't know who John Wayne was. He's like in his early 20s.
Didn't know who John Wayne was. Yeah.
So it's weird. Obviously there'll be lots and lots of 20-year-olds who will know who John Wayne was, but I think there are certain things you assume, oh, they must know. And do you remember, like, I don't know, your dad mentioning like film stars, like, and you'd be like, don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And that would have been just at the tail end of their kind of like when they're in their childhood, that person would have been famous and then stopped being famous as a guy. And so they just, you know, no, don't know who that is. They're like, how could you not know who such and such is? I think
it's probably your kids nowadays just think of Tom Cruise as that man who jumped on the sofa.
Only know him from, like, I'm trying to think of a.
What's he done? War of the Worlds?
War of the Worlds and Minority Report.
Yeah.
What was his last film?
I don't know. God, what's he done? Night and Day was his last film, I think.
I'm not even sure what that is.
It was a very poor kind of spy thriller.
Wasn't there a film where you could play like a slightly sleazy senator or something like that?
A couple
of years ago?
You played a hitman in
Collateral. Ladies and gentlemen at home, this is the kind of in-depth knowledge of films that you're going to enjoy over the next 100 podcasts.
Next time, we need to have the internet movie database
just constantly open. I think you're not going to come to us for facts. I think you're going to come to us. And I think some of the films that we'll expose you to over the coming months, perhaps. There are some slightly strange and odd films that I don't think perhaps everyone would have heard of.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the obvious ones we've already seen. So,
definitely. So
it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Look out for it.
Have a look out.
Okay. Right, so we're going to finish with my ukulele challenge, my uke challenge, in which in every podcast, well, probably not everyone because I won't be able to do it. To explain, I'm not musical. I love music, but I cannot play instruments. Last year, or maybe the year before, I bought a ukulele because I thought it would be a simple, fun little instrument to play. I still can't really play it, but I'm, as in the spirit of the podcast, being exposed to new things and pushing myself to new things, I'm going to play a song, or try to play just the opening bit or a bit of a song from Top Gun.
Okay.
So now, when you think of Top Gun, Lewis,
what song are you going to butcher?
What song immediately leaps to mind?
God, there's so many. That's the one good thing. I should have mentioned this earlier.
Well, we can talk about it now.
Top Gun has some of the best soundtrack tunes ever.
Well, it's a very popular soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
Went to number one. The soundtrack.
Really, really good.
But so what straight away?
Well,
yeah,
it could be
Top
anywhere. There's Otis Redding. There's
song names. Come on.
Oh, God. Take My Breath Away.
No, not that one. The other one.
Danger Zone.
No, not that one. The other one.
You've Lost That Loving Feeling.
Not that one. The other one.
Oh, my God. What other ones are there?
Well, there's a little bit where they play Jerry Lee Lewis' Great Balls of Fire on the piano.
Oh, of course. Goose.
So I'm going to try and play Great Balls of Fire on the ukulele.
Oh, my God.
So wish me luck.
Are you sure everyone's ready for this?
Probably not, no.
Okay, let's have a go.
Right, okay, here we go. Feel free to comment, Lewis. Okay. Oh, dear. Okay, I'll give it another go. Hang on. I got this bit. Okay, all right. You shake my nerves and you're out of my brain. You see myself as a man insane. You broke my will. Oh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. That's as much as I can do.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well, again, over the 100 podcasts, I'll get better.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's a shame we've only got 100, really, because we might need a bit more practice. Was that actually a note? Were there any notes in there at all?
Yes, there was. That was.
Your fingers moving, but the same note seemed to come out.
This is F7.
Okay.
That's G7. And that's C.
Is that even tuned?
Maybe it should be, yeah, but maybe it's gone slightly out of tune.
Okay.
Oh well, it was a good first attempt.
And we're doing that every podcast.
Every podcast. I mean, you can't wait, listeners.
Wow. Okay.
I'll practice a little bit more.
Okay. I don't know what to say after that performance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Look forward to the next one. Right. I don't know what it is yet, but yeah. Bye.
Cue the music.